Thank you for that introduction. My name is Matilda Backholm. I work with Dr. Dalno Kivras at McMaster University here in Hamilton, or in Hamilton, Canada. And today I'm going to talk about the work we've been doing on this small worm called C. elegans. So you see it up on the right. C. elegans is a model organism in biology. It's about a millimeter long. And as you see here, it's crawling on this gel-like substrate in this undulatory fashion, leaving this cool pattern behind. It also swims in this undulatory way in liquid, and people are really sort of interested in understanding this form of motion because it's very, very efficient. But to understand it properly, you really need to know a lot about the material properties of your crawler. So that's what we've studied in collaboration with Dr. Ru at U of T. And it's this one. So what we've done to actually probe the material properties of C. elegans is we've done a three-point bending measurement of the worm. So in the schematics, it's really dark, but this here is our anesthetized worm. We're placing it onto two simple supports. And then I'm holding onto it with this force transducer, which is a micropipette. So it's about a centimeter long, only 20 microns thin. So the aspect ratio is massive. It's actually, so if I would draw this to scale, this cantilever part would go way down to the basement. So what we do with this experiment is we move the support from left to right, as shown here, with a constant speed. This will cause a deflection of the pipette, as you see here. What this means is that we are applying a force to the left, a spring-like force. We can calibrate the deflection of the pipette by actually measuring the spring constant of our pipette. And in that way, we're measuring forces at the same time as we're holding the worm. And then since we're applying a force to the worm, we're bending it, as you see here, and we define the bending as how much the difference between how much we move the support and how much the pipette is deflecting. So very, very simple technique. Here's an image from an actual experiment. So this is our simple support. This is the anesthetized worm. I'm holding it with the pipette here. You see that the length scale is very, very small. So that's the experiment. Here is a graph with force versus bending from this specific experiment. So the way I'm doing the experiment, I'm moving support from left to right until we have contact. We keep on moving it, so we start bending the worm. And you start to see this initial linear regime where everything is nice and elastic. And after that, you have some deviation from that. And then we keep on bending it. You see some vast deformation of the worm material, either buckling or slipping. And then if I stop the motion of the support, you see some relaxation of the wear material. So it's this part here of the data that we're really interested in looking at. And to do so, we've introduced this viscoelastic model, a very well-known model called the Maxwell model. You might have seen it before. So that's shown here on the right, where you connect a spring in series with a viscous dashpot. C here is your damping coefficient of your theoretical liquid, and K is the elastic component of the wear. So what I'm plotting in the graph is the bending of the worm as a function of time. So on the last graph, I showed you force versus bending. This is not the same, but again, typical experiment. And in red, we have the theoretical fit from the Maxwell model. So we see excellent agreement between theory and data. So we really understand what's going on in this worm material. The cool thing is that when we're doing this fit, we're only using two fitting parameters, so only these two, which means that we really get out a lot of information from this fit when we do it in different situations. So we wanted to understand those better. So first of all, we're going to look at the elastic component of the worm. So here I'm plotting the bending stiffness. That's proportional to that spring constant of the worm that I showed on the last slide. So I'm plotting that as a function of worm diameter. And the different data points here correspond to different worms. The different colors are different life stages of the worm. So these ones here are small baby worms. These here are adult worms. What has been assumed before is that the stiffness in C. elegans can be modeled as a cylindrical structure if you look at the cross-section of the worm. That hasn't been proven before. But in fact, if we go and look at our data, here plotted on a log-log plot, if that cylindrical assumption would be correct, we should see a D to the fourth scaling of our data. And in fact, that is what we see. So first of all, we really can prove that hypothesis. And we also see that the worm is self-similar, which means that if we take an adult worm and rescale it to the small worm, they have the same kind of stiffness. What was really exciting was when we looked at the viscous component. So to really probe that, we did the bending measurements with different bending speeds. So here I'm plotting the damping coefficient as a function of bending speed. see that this is very much not a constant. In fact, if I plot it on a log-log plot, you see that we have a parallel decreasing damping coefficient as a function of bending speed. This has never been seen before. People have always assumed that the damping coefficient of C elegans is that of a Newtonian liquid, so it would be constant in this kind of graph. What this means is that we have a shear thinning worm, so we have a complex-like fluid behavior in the worm. In practice, what this means is that it's easier for the worm to bend its own body quickly than produce the same motion slowly. And this is really, really neat. So here are my conclusions. We looked at the passive material properties of the worm. And Raphael Schulman, who's going to talk right after me, is going to show where we're taking this project next, where next we're looking at the active swimming measurements of this particular worm. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Matilda.